Thank you, Neil, and good morning. Did you know that you're all in process of becoming more like Jesus? And did you know that way too often we resist that process? You know the story of the brown salmon. It's an incredible story, but actually for any fish that continuously swims downstream will die. Unless a fish goes upstream, it won't survive. And we like those seasons, those little back eddies where we can just kind of sit for a while and just, we need a rest. We have those seasons. But God wants us to continue to go upstream, row upstream, fight upstream, pray upstream, believe upstream, because that is the hope for Canada. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are. No Christian is accepted. No Christian is outside of that. So when remind us, when things get hard, it's not necessarily a bad thing. We'll get through this because God is in us, God is for us, and God is with us. So we're here to encourage one another, not necessarily to just say, well, let's just kind of just phase out for a while. And we do. Sometimes we are in the hospital. And we need to recoup. We need to lick our wounds. But it's to go back on the front lines. And the front lines are a tough place to be. But it's a fun place to be if Jesus is there with you. I want to take it this morning to Colossians chapter 4. We left here in the end of March. For most of you know, we're way back in September, I think, I started the book of Colossians, worked through 1, 2, 3, now we're in 4, verses 2 through 6. And there's two main thoughts in these verses, and they're connected. The first thought is prayer, and the second thought is those who are outside. It'll make sense to you as we go through this. And so, Lord, let the spirit of your understanding be released upon your people in the hearing of your word, in Jesus' name. Colossians 4, verse 2 reads this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for me, for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The title I gave to this was, Buy Up Every Opportunity. When the word says redeeming the time, the word redeem is used for Jesus, who he redeemed us. So to redeem is to buy up. Buy up, it says redeem the time, so buy up opportunities. That means there's an intentionality about it. There's a focus on it. But that's the second part of this of where we're going this morning. You don't have to be a Christian very long before you begin to learn that prayer should be part of every Christian's regular practice. But not every Christian regularly prays. There's Christians who stop praying for a while, for a season, some for a long time. And there's those who seek God all the time. But prayer is very simple. It's talking and listening to God. Do you hear that? Not just one of them, not just talking to God. Prayer is also listening to God. How many of you listen well when you speak to Jesus? How many are there in anticipation what he has to say to you at the same time when you're bringing something before him with your words in your heart? Prayer is that two-way communication. I've heard many people pray. I've heard many different ways that people pray. There's many types of prayers. You know, there's thanksgiving, there's praise, there's petition, there's intercession, there's ecclesia prayer, there is complaining, there is all kinds of prayer. I've heard many people pray. I've heard people pray, and you just kind of want to move into that inner circle because they so enjoy the love of Jesus while they're praying. It's like, wow. The presence of Jesus just moved in. And then I've heard other people pray who seem to be hesitant to come too close to him. Sometimes it's fear and sometimes it's just in awe, but sometimes it's just a religious awe where it's like he's so holy we can't go to him. And they have gone to the other extreme where it's like God is so unreachable, so untouchable. It's like, God, how do I even dare to come to you? That's not the Jesus we know. Jesus says, come to me. He never says, get away from me. You can, you know, I'll give you the hearing or seeing someone pray to me gives me a window in somebody's soul where they're at right there. And I know I can be fooled. It can come out one way and it's the other. But really it is, if you listen to them, I love prayer meetings. Because sometimes people know God in a way I don't. And I'm going to learn from them. And I want to say to you who somehow get intimidated by more seasoned people in prayer meetings who have these flowery, you know, they got it all together. They know how to express themselves publicly. Never mind. I love the little child's prayer that says, help me, Jesus, I love you. That teaches me something. I love to hear people pray. It gives me a window into their soul. But what does God think of your prayer life? If you were to ask him, would he answer you? What do you expect him to say? Don't come so often? No. Don't stay so long next time. No. Why do you bring all these little things to me anyway? No. I wish you wouldn't need me for everything. Not that one either. What would he say? What would he say to you? Stay a little longer. Come to me with all your needs and thanksgivings and wherever you're at. Come more frequent. Come hang out a little more. Thank you for bringing these things to me. Thank you for caring for others. Thank you that I found someone that I can share my heart with. Did you know God looks for that? You know he looks for that? He looks for people with whom he can share his heart because then he can get his will done through you on earth. But do you ever have seasons where prayer is hard or specific things where prayer is hard? You start with, Lord, I want. Or Lord, I need. Lord, can it please go this way? Can you please come join me? Can you please let it go my way, this way? And you're wrestling with God. And it might be in one instance, in one sitting, it might go from one day, from morning, and then again at night, and you visit it the next day, or it goes on and on, and eventually, in this tough slugging, it comes to, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Prayer can be hard. Because prayer is intended to change you before it changes anything or anyone else. And if prayer doesn't change you, there's something you need to learn. Jesus comes to the Father, right, in the garden. Father, if there is any other way, if there is any other way, I've never sweat drops of blood. If there is any other way, but not my will, but yours be done. Think that was an easy prayer? That's where he came to. It changed him again. He surrendered. So prayer changes things. What does prayer change? Kids, what does prayer change? You know what the Bible says? Prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything, including you. How much does it change? The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. But then in what manner does it change? Sometimes, in a miraculous way. We pray and it's like, wow, that was a miracle. God gives us those times, miraculous ways. And sometimes in extraordinary manners. You know, that can only be God. But you know, most of the time, in just ordinary manners, you pray and this moves. You see God and that person comes along. You're praying about this and the door opens or it closes. Just in ordinary manners. Because God has determined that man is to participate in bringing heaven's rule in this world. He will not do it apart from man. He decreed that in the garden, or long before then, but he implemented it in the garden. God determined that you are to participate in bringing heaven's rule in this world, in bringing heaven's love in this world, in bringing heaven's kingdom in this world, in bringing heaven's health in this world. Heaven's relationship in this world. And prayer is a means of having you participate in the work that he has ordained as part of the outworking of his sovereign rulership over all. I don't understand it, but I embrace it. I don't need to understand it. But I know if people don't pray, don't expect change. And if people pray, expect change. Oswald Chambers says this, to say prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as saying prayer changes me, and then I change things. You see, because when prayer changes you, you come into alignment with the heart of God. And when God finds alignment on the earth, he cannot help but bring change. But as long as we resist God's will, we resist his heart, and we're not listening and we're just talking, say, Lord, I need this. Lord, bring change. I need a job. I need health. And we need all those things. And he's saying, but, and we don't listen. Prayer, first and foremost, is intended to change us. So when we speak heaven's language. And when we listen, we hear what heaven is releasing. And then when we speak blessing or declare something over something, it's because heaven is speaking through you. That's an incredible something Jesus has and God has entrusted to us. Words. That's why Paul writes in verse 2 of Colossians 2, Continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. I looked up all kinds of translations just to have you hear it more than once in different language. So to continue earnestly means to be devoted. Keep persisting. Never give up. Don't be weary. Keep at it. Persevere. Do not neglect it. Be busy in prayer. Always take time to talk to God. Continue earnestly. And then it says, being vigilant in it. What's vigilant? Be watchful. Stay alert. Have your mind and heart on what you are saying. That should hardly be stated, but it needs to be expressed. Kids, I'll pick on you children for a minute. We adults might do too. I know we do. Lord, please bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. And did your heart and mind enter in what you just said? Not as much as that steak that would get cold if you kept praying. Steak, you got to eat hot, guys. Men, women. I know that. I knew Neil would amen. Stay alert. Have your mind on heart on what you are saying. It goes back to the simple phrase, worship God in spirit and truth. It's truth. Lord, I let your blessing be on this food. It's truth. Don't remove your spirit from it. I, too, look at nature. Someone was in my office this week, and just a simple statement. He said, I look at nature, and I just marvel because everything out there is alive. Everything man makes is dead. That hit me. It's dead. It's comfortable, it's useful. Everything God makes and shows us is alive. Wakefulness and prayer, not just words entering in. Be conscious of his nearness. Chew on that one for a minute. When you pray, be conscious of his nearness. Father, I thank you for this day. And you look around. You are so near. You are so in this. Even when it feels like he isn't there, be conscious of his nearness. Do you know the difference between receiving and not receiving? Expectation. Being open to whatever he has. When you sing the songs this morning, you can sing them because you know them, because you enjoy them. The one I just love, oh, what a wonderful name it is. I love that song. But I could just resort to singing it with my head. But then when your heart opens up, be conscious of his nearness. Let it give you life. So when you pray, let prayer become alive. Posture yourself before him, whether in your mind or physically. And while there, receive his love. Which begs the question, can you? Can you? How do you come to God? Can you receive his love? Can you come to him as your heavenly Father? Can you come to him as a Savior of your soul who's never stopped loving you, who's never had one reason, one thought to love you less? Prayer is not boring. You're before the living God, an audience of one who gives his full attention to you and a billion other people at the same time, however that works. And he says, you're my special one. Thank you for coming. He says, being vigilant, be heavenly minded. Oh, Father, I receive your life from this food. I receive your joy in this day. I receive your perspective in this situation. Be heavenly minded. What does heaven see regarding the matter you're petitioning for? Be heavenly minded. Lord, show me your perspective and expect. Remember, prayer is a two-way conversation. Expect him to speak to you in response. Some of you, busy mornings, and you're praying on your way to work. And you get there, it was 17 minutes, it was 13 minutes, it was 45 minutes, it was 4 minutes. You say, man, I didn't hear God. Oh, yes, you did. You just didn't recognize it. He speaks to you all the time. Expect him to speak. Be in a state of readiness to receive instruction or comfort or peace or whatever it is you're needing. Expect it. So continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, and then he says with thanksgiving. When you pray, it's a big word, always. Say always. 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 Thank God. We can forget that one. The Bible doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. Being vigilant, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. It puts your focus on where it needs to be, which is him, which is Jesus, and not on your circumstances. But it does more than that. It brings God on the scene. Thanksgiving brings God on the scene. If he hasn't entered your quiet place yet, he will. He cannot but show up when you enter into thanksgiving. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's Bible. When you give him thanks, you're inviting him into your difficult situation. Now, we want to be rescued from the difficult situation. In everything, in, it says in, not after. In everything, give thanks. It invites him into the situation. Psalm 67, 5 through 7 says this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. I know it doesn't say thanksgiving, but thanksgiving is praise. Let all the peoples praise you. And it says, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is not Thanksgiving weekend, but the passage says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I want to encourage you, seriously, I want to encourage you. Do a study, do your own study in your Bibles on Thanksgiving, where people give thanks and see what happens. When the principle is given and see what follows it. Do it. If you're already giving thanks and everything, it might just cause you to do it with even more fervor. And if you've hesitated or forgotten to do it, it may cause you to say, I need to begin giving God thanks. Because I need God in every situation. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. And I'm just following the verses here. And then it says, Paul asked for prayer for himself. And he tells them specifically what to pray for. Isn't it interesting? You know, sometimes, Lord, teach us how to pray. Here we get a very clear instruction. Paul has a simple prayer request. He's in prison, by the way, for the gospel. He's writing this letter and others from prison. And he says, pray for me, for a door to open to the world so that I'll have more opportunity to share the gospel message. Pray for me, obviously, either that it's here or that I get rescued from here so I can tell more people about the gospel and that I will deliver the message in the way people need to hear it. To the Jew, I became a Jew. To those born under the law, I became as under the law. To the circumcised, I became as them. I became all things to all people. It's not a formula. It's called knowing people. No more than that. It's called being concerned about people. Being concerned about the individual in the moment, the group in the moment, the crowd in the moment, the family in the moment. And what they need is different than what they need. And what they needed yesterday is different than what they need next week. Pray that I will deliver the message in the way people need to hear it. Now, a question may come up is, why couldn't it just be Paul's prayer? You know, I've been sitting in prison and I'm still here. And so, man, I need to ramp up my prayer. I need more people praying because I need to somehow persuade God that if more people agree with this, I'll get set loose. You ever think that way? Why do we ask people to pray, to join our prayers? Does more people praying for something make it more effective or more likely for God to do it? Well, we know that, you know, where two or three gather my name and there's multiplication in the kingdom. True. But it's not just about numbers, is it? So what is it? In the context, he's asking him to follow the exhortation he's just given. Continue in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. And I believe especially that third part is a key. You got 10 people giving thanks. Now you got 100 people giving thanks. Now you got 1,000 people giving thanks. And now you got 5,000 people giving thanks. I saw a little video clip a few days ago that someone sent me of a girl in London from a couple. little boy, 17 months old, and he had stage 4 cancer. It was all over his bones. They tried everything. They had 24,000 people or 25,000 people on their Facebook praying. Nothing changed. And then they came to understand it wasn't about praying, it was about declaring. And so when they understood that, I'm diverting, but I want to share this anyway. It's a fun story. They listened to a guy by the name of Andrew Womack, I think is how you pronounce it. And he taught them about declaring. And so one on a given day, mom came to the little bed of the 17-month-old boy and said, "Bones, I have good news for you." And spoke to the bones. A week later, they did a scan. And the doctor comes back with a report. He says, "Everything's up in the air." Mom says, "What do you mean everything's up in the air?" "Well, everything's up in the air. Well, is it up good or up bad?" "Well, it's up good. We can't find cancer." But there was a tumor in the back, on the spine, I think it was, that they couldn't reach, they couldn't nail or whatever it was. And a few weeks went by and said, "Lord, we need more." And as dad is reading the Bible, or mom was reading the Bible, so he comes to the story in Judges of Ehud. You know, you get the judge, the little sword, and he goes to King Eglon, I think it is. And what does he do? He's kind of a fat man, and he says, but it says he kept the sword in there. That's right, yeah. And so dad took the Bible and he laid that on the baby's belly and spoke that verse over the baby's belly, but kept the word there. Didn't draw it out. Because the word of God is a double-edged sword. Got healed. He's in his 6 or 8 year old now. This was in 2011, so he's 6 or 7 now. And so they put this on Facebook, and the prayers from 25,000 went up to hundreds of thousands of thanksgiving. So Paul says, "Pray for me," because it wasn't about him not getting out, but when he'd get out, there'd be thanksgiving to God. He wanted God to get the glory from more than just him. See, thanksgiving. God moves on thanksgiving. There's a story of the 10 lepers, right? They come to Jesus. "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." All 10 were healed. One comes back and with a loud voice, he glorifies God. Falls at his feet. And Jesus says, "Weren't there 10 saved? Where's the other 9? You see, God looks for thanksgiving of his people. Don't ever stop giving him thanks in your situation, because God moves upon thanksgiving. Go on the passage around the corner. And Paul says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." You know what tells us? This was written to who? The disciples? The apostles? Everyone. The church of Colossae. He later says, you know, remember, make sure that this book also makes to those in... The epistle is read in to the Laodiceans, another community. So he says to us as well today, take notice of outsiders. Now it's a phrase Paul used frequently or more a number of times, where outsiders are those outside the body of Christ, those outside the church, those outside of the body of believers. So just as Paul asked for prayer for opportunities for himself, he now exhorts his readers to use opportunities too. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Because walk with wisdom, it takes wisdom, wise walking, to win people to Christ. When Timothy Berry was here, we went out on the Saturday afternoon. We had 31, 32 people, and we got to love on people in the parks. But what you may have exercised on one wasn't necessarily what the second one or the third one needed to hear. Walk with wisdom among those who are on the outside. Do they need to hear you are a sinner and unless you repent, you're going to hell? Is that where you'd start? Is that where you should start? Where should you start? God loves you. God loves you. You have no idea how much God loves you because today I got to meet you. And this is a divine appointment. God loves you. There's enough people in this world, we do it to each other, that would cause us to feel unloved. We need to hear. We need to hear that God loves us. We need to hear people love us. God loves you. And he says, make the most of every opportunity. Who has extra time in their week? Not many of you. There's two of you. But you're all on the hook. At least for me, I know I'm supposed to bring this word today. And I'm looking for the connecting points. When God showed us, like, I get this. Paul says, pray for me for opportunity. And he says, and by the way, don't neglect your own opportunities. You're already free. You're already out there. Make the most of every opportunity. Buy up every opportunity. What's the best way to have complete ownership of a company? Buy up every share. Own it 100%. Now, here's a weird one. But I have these thoughts, and I actually read an account recently that a couple did this. It's husband and wife, and I would never recommend it to be other than at least a couple or husband and wife. This couple loved on a prostitute. They knew the fee. It was quite high. She came in the vehicle with them. Where are we going? Well, we'll see. You'll see. They loved on her all afternoon. She stopped along a storefront watching. There was a dress there. What do you think of that? Well, I can't afford it. They bought it for her. They loved on her. At the end of the afternoon, no strings attached. They bought up the whole opportunity. I think it was $350 plus what they loved on her. That's a real way of buying up the opportunity. The lady was obliged because they had purchased her. But it wasn't for the sake of purchasing her, it was the sake to love on her with Jesus. You want to hear the rest of the story? Months later, this couple went to this conference, and there was groups of young people. And groups came in, and groups came in, and groups came in. And one of the groups was led by this young lady. Because she went home and trying to figure out what just hit her. What happened to her? She experienced the love of God and didn't know what to do with it. But she knew somebody who was a Christian. They didn't mention Jesus. They didn't even share the gospel with her. They just loved on her. But she found another Christian. Gave her life to the Lord. Joined the church. Wasn't put in charge of the young people. Buy up every opportunity. Paul went into the open market and he bought up the time and he used it rightly. With the philosophers, he debated philosophy. With the religious, he debated their religion. With the beggar, he would have talked differently. It says, make the most of every encounter. And some of you say, I have never had an encounter. I don't know when I had the last one and I don't know how to find them. It also means act the right way to people who are not Christians. Walk in wisdom. Don't hit him over the head with a Bible. Love on him. I love this statement. the precise juncture of circumstances which must be seized at once or it's gone. How do you know that God had not designed for that person to cross your path because this was their Kairos time? This is not about guilting you. This is about having your eyes open and ears open, walking in wisdom, redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. You do not know what that person may have been through. They may be searching, they may be running away, but they may need to hear a word of something, of the love of God, of the truth of God, that God can use and arrest them and save them. So pray for opportunity. That's the context, right? Pray. Being watchful with thanksgiving. Pray for opportunity. We all have them if we see them. And then when the opportunity comes, we are to act upon the opportunity. Speak into the opportunity. Look for meaningful conversation. But don't do it unless you're praying. You see, you need a fresh dose that morning, that afternoon of the love of Jesus. Because the love of Jesus will compel you. Your lifeline is Him. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Without me, you can do nothing. When you're filled with the love of Jesus, you want to love on people. That is our problem. We need more of the love of Jesus. Always speak with grace, it says. That's called winsome speech, always. Bring out the best in others. Love on them as Jesus would do. Now, Jesus always had the word of knowledge, or seemed to always have within reach, John 4. Give me a drink. Why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. If you would ask me for the living water, you'll never thirst again. And then he switches. Now, I know you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. The one you have is not yours. He knew what she needed. He spoke with wisdom. He sprinkled in some salt and used the opportunity. He says, have salt in yourselves. How much? How much salt? Well, not too little, not too much. Just be you. Some of you are people of many words. Sometimes I'm that way, or maybe more often. Some of you are people of few words. Don't be somebody you're not. I have found out that quiet people, when they give you three words, it's like whammo. I felt that one. And the next one talks for 10 minutes and nothing hits you. Just be you. You don't have to become somebody you're not. Be who God made you. You see, some people need just a little poke and they'll talk. They'll tell you the life story. Actually, my wife would say, I don't even poke them when they talk. It's amazing how many people's lives they've dumped their situation on her in the grocery store. And she hasn't asked for opportunity. She hasn't prayed for opportunity, but she will stop and utilize the opportunity. Some of us are more intimidating than that. I guess people just don't talk to us the same way. But a key thing is also listening skills. You know what the end of the verse says? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Then somehow you've listened enough, you've cared enough, where they become inquisitive. Right? You have to, that's what it says. So you know how to answer each one. And answer means there was a question. There was an inquiry. But oh, it needs this. Genuine concern. Brent reminded me yesterday of John Maxwell's many communicate, few connect. When people know how much you care, they'll listen to what you have to say. And so there's only two of you who can actually practice this in the next week because everyone else has no time. But the word comes to all of us, so what are we going to do about it? See, this passage tells me it's not to be optional. We want to make it optional. Today I'm going to float downstream. No. Only if the Holy Spirit says you can. You see, you're here to bring the kingdom of heaven on the earth. You're the salt and you're the light. And if you're having a bad day, focus your attention on someone else. They'll pick you up. True every time. And then you can go back to having your bad day. I have never, this is a no-brainer. I have never met a person who regretted helping somebody else where their life improved. I said, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Look how their life's improved. I've never seen it. It's an oxymoron. It feels good to see somebody walk away with a smile who seemed to have a frown and a heaviness upon him. Just study the people when you go for a coffee maybe on the other side of the counter. You know, they should be there to make your day better. So, you know, how are you? I just love serving you coffee. Well, oftentimes it's not the case. They're there because they need the job. They get minimum payment or minimum wage. How about picking up their day? It's not that difficult. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why would someone ask you what the hope is? What is it about you that would cause them to ask what your hope is? What have you sprinkled? What kind of salt are you sprinkling? What kind of grace are you communicating with? What kind of opportunities are you seizing? You may have a 10-0. I've tried it 10 times and nothing. Don't quit. 11 may be your time. Or your 15th time. Just be you. Our speech should be the power of the presence of God. When it's grace with the love of God. There's a church in Texas going on right now from Easter to Pentecost. There's 350 churches. It's called Revive TX, Revive Texas. 350 churches. They have decided they want to evangelize the community or the city of Texas in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Just for a few months. So far, this past week, they say the number is they have seen 1,600 people saved. That's good. I wouldn't call it revival. But you know what? That's at least 4 people per church saved. Put in perspective. Because they have focused, they have made it intentional to go out 2x2 and to go and love on people, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom and grace, sprinkling with salt, and then having a ready answer, 1,600 people. We can call it revival, or you can call it bringing heaven to earth through the mandate given to every Christian. So this is intentional. And they have 4 words which motivate them. This is what they teach every person that's going. Love. Listen, discern, respond. Bring the love of Jesus. Listen to the cry of their heart. Discern how to answer, and then respond. When we love Him like Christ, we'll listen, and then discern from the Holy Spirit, and then we'll respond. A few weeks ago, we did go out on a Saturday. And I believe we need to make that a more regular matter. And so that's for some of us. For some of you, it's not. But for all of us, you live in a world that, as Brent says, Jesus is the answer. Walking amongst politicians where God isn't mentioned or acknowledged, but where Jesus is the answer. You live in a neighborhood where Jesus is the answer, where the love of God is the answer. You work in a workplace where the love of God is the answer. You live with family where the love of God is the answer. Are we going to do it? Pray these verses in. I'm just a messenger. You go back to these verses, study them. Go back to study. what God has to say about thanksgiving, what he has to say about redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity, because it may be the day for that person to hear a word that they needed to hear, and you're the messenger. God may show you, or he may not show you the outcome, but heaven will show you. But as one other application just closer to home, we do have some visitors here this morning. We have visitors other weeks, and we have others who are newer here and those who've been here for a longer time. And we're family. But I want to encourage you to redeem the time and to look for those who are outside of your regular realm of communication. Let's make it a real family. You don't know how someone may need to be picked up or encouraged today. And you may be the one to give them a word that they would not have heard unless you intercepted their life. We can do that. We have to do that. Because every opportunity is every opportunity. Those on the outside, but it also applies to wherever we are. And it doesn't need to become laborious and overwhelming. It's saying, Lord, show me. You could actually stand in the corner and look at the group. And something will nudge in your spirit. I got to go talk to that person. And you go do it. Love on them. Because if they get picked up from where they are, they may feel encouraged enough to go give a word to someone else. Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is truth. When we walk in it and when we obey it, it will not return void. It's not difficult. It's the mandate of bringing heaven to earth through the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.